So I'm one of those guys who doesn't like it when people start their Christmas music too early. Amen. Now, if it were up to Kayla, we would start Christmas celebration as soon as the school year starts in the fall. But because of that, I sometimes get teased because I make everybody hold off. But in case you're wondering, Rhonda Pighetti has awesome Christmas decorations planned for next Sunday. So we'll be all dressed up in here. So you might think that I'm kind of a Grinch, but that's not the truth. I absolutely love Christmas, love Christmas, love everything about it. But as Christians, Christmas has to mean a lot more to us than it does to the world. Infinitely more, literally, to us than it does to the world. And so I think sometimes we can jump into it too quickly without the preparation that it deserves or that it needs. I think if we, you know, jump like we so often do from Halloween right into Christmas, we miss a really important part of the preparation for Christmas. I shared a little bit of that with you last week, and we're going to talk about it a little bit more today. We have to celebrate Thanksgiving before we can truly celebrate Christmas. And my hope is that today, at the end of our sermon, at the end of this time, that all of us will be primed and ready to celebrate the birth of our Messiah. That's what my hope is today. Last week we talked about, the title of the message was Thanksgiving Equals Contentment. And we talked about contentment. We talked about the fact that when we give thanks, we're thanking God. If we give thanks and we don't have anything to direct that thanksgiving towards, we begin to look at all the great stuff in our life and we say, thank you for my home and my family and my health. And then we begin to say, wow, look at all the wonderful things in my life. I must have accomplished all this because there's no one to thank for it. See, our thanksgiving has to always be directed towards God. And then we said, we're thanking him for our eternal gifts. Most importantly, the eternal gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. We can't just, it's okay to be thankful for the temporary things in life, but our thanksgiving can't end there. The center of our thanksgiving has to be the eternal things of God. And then we said when we do all of that, we discover a contentment, a complete satisfaction in God, that he is all we need. The other stuff can come and go, but God is all I need. I am completely content with him. And so that's where we started. And so what we're going to move into today is Thanksgiving equals worship. After what we talked about last week, now we're ready for worship. And so today we're going to talk about worship. We're in Hebrews chapter 12. That's where we were last week. We're going to finish up there today. Hebrews chapter 12, and it's the last two verses of that chapter, verses 28 and 29. Hebrews 12. Beginning of verse 28, it says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. By it, we may serve God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. We have a natural progression in this passage from the understanding of our unshakable kingdom, the eternal gift that we have in God, moving to the idea of worshiping him. So there's three things we're going to look at as we progress through this passage and talk about worship. First is thankful worship. I'm going to talk about how our Thanksgiving last week ties into worship this week. Second is acceptable worship. What is acceptable worship before God? And finally, reverent worship. We're called to be in reverence and awe. What does reverent worship look like? So that's where we're going to go today. Let me pray for us as we begin. Father, as we come today, I ask that you would open up our hearts and minds to what you have for us. Father, I believe that in the scripture today, you're preparing us for our greatest Christmas season ever. And so, Father, I ask that we would be open to that we'd be attentive to what it is that you want to say. Father, I ask that you would hide me behind the cross. I am painfully aware of my shortcomings, of my inability to bring anything of meaning today without your spirit speaking through me. And so, Father, I ask that you would get rid of any of my shortcomings, any of my impure motives, Father, and that I would be hidden today and you would be heard and seen loud and clear. Father, bless us with your presence now. I ask that we would feel you in this place, that you would work in our hearts, that we would go from here changed. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the first thing I want to talk to you about is thankful worship. Worship is a continually deepening experience. It's supposed to increase as our relationship with God increases. As our depth of our relationship with God increases, our worship should increase in depth along with it, more and more every day. And so like we talked about last week, and this is where thankfulness, Thanksgiving ties into worship. Like we talked about last week, if we're stuck in temporary things or material things, then our thankfulness comes and goes with the circumstances of life, right? Because no matter what you're thankful for right now, there's a good chance it's going to be different next week or a month from now or a year from now. Those things change. And so if we're caught up in that, then our thanksgiving and our worship move back and forth with the seasons of life, and they're not consistent. And we'll never experience that true thankfulness that comes from being content only in God. And if we're stuck in that kind of thankfulness, then we never move on to true worship. Now, first and foremost, the central thing we have to understand, the reason we worship God is because he deserves it. We worship God because he is God. And you see how that idea of that constant thankfulness ties into that? If I just worship God because I say, man, God did this wonderful thing for me and this wonderful thing and this wonderful thing, and so I worship him, that's not the foundation of worship. We worship God because he's God. That's why we worship God. And we move into deeper worship later and because of that, but that's the foundation. If we don't know the true eternal things of God, then we cannot truly worship him for who he is. And that's why we follow this progression of thankfulness into worship. So true worship begins with that true thankfulness, but it's so much more than that. Back in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, I want to talk to you now about acceptable worship. Verse 28 says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. By it, we may serve God acceptably with reverence and awe. Now, this is one of the points where I wonder if some of you are sitting there going, Pastor Shane is crazy because this passage doesn't talk about worship. It talks about thankfulness, several other things, but the word worship doesn't show up in here. Well, it does and it doesn't. Here's what I mean by that. Are any of you reading a translation this morning, different from mine, that says acceptable worship instead of acceptable service? Do any of you have that in your Bible? Yeah, a few of you? Yeah. So here's the deal. This word, service or worship, in the Greek, in the original language, it very literally means service. But what it does here, as it's talking about it and in other places, it harkens back to the priests of the Old Testament, the priests that served in the temple. Now, I don't know how much you know about that, but the priests in the tabernacle right after the time of Moses and in the temple later on, these were men who dedicated their entire lives to the worship of God. They lived, they worked, they ate everything in the temple. They didn't have their own homes. They didn't have their own livestock. Everything was dedicated 100% to the temple, to the worship of God. That was their service to God. And so here's what's so great about, and there's no mistake that the author of Hebrews used that word here, because in the terms of the New Testament, likewise, our entire lives should be dedicated to the worship of God. Like the priests of the Old Testament, we should live and breathe in the presence of God. Our life should revolve around the presence of God. Romans 12:1 says, therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is true worship. True worship is offering all of yourself to God. I love the quiet time that Taylor shared this morning because that's what he's talking about. Your worship of God should involve whatever it is that you're passionate to do. And you should be submitting whatever that is to God. And that's that giving that service that you give, that's your worship of God. So it should be 100% of who we are. It should be everything. So the question is, if we're going to talk about what we call acceptable worship, the question is there such a thing as unacceptable worship of God? Is there unacceptable worship? And there is. And it comes from Isaiah chapter 1. You know, the big book of prophecy, Isaiah, is a huge book. All prophecy. And here's where it begins. Here's what it talks about first. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 11 through 14. Isaiah 1, beginning in verse 11. It says, "What are all your sacrifices to me?" asks the Lord. "I have had enough of burnt offerings and rams and the fat of well-fed cattle. I have no desire for the blood of bulls, lambs, or male goats. When you come to appear before me, who requires this from you, this trampling of my courts? Stop bringing useless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons and Sabbaths and the calling of solemn assemblies, I cannot stand iniquity with a festival. I hate your new moons and prescribed festivals. They have become a burden to me, and I am tired of putting up with them." Is there such a thing as unacceptable worship? Yeah. And you know what he's talking about there? You know, all those things he's talking about, the blood of bulls and their prescribed festivals, those are things that God told them to do. Those aren't stuff that they just made up. That's the worship that God told them to do. So why is it detestable to him? Because they just started going through the motions. It was completely meaningless. They would sin it up and then show up for their festival and say, "Well, I sacrificed what I was supposed to sacrifice. Now let's go back to life." And it became meaningless. And that kind of worship is not only unacceptable, what does God say? It's detestable. I hate it. I hate it when you just go through the motions and it's meaningless. So unacceptable worship is just going through the motions, while acceptable worship is offering our whole selves over to God. Worship is something you do every moment of every day. It's not something you do on a Sunday morning. Now, there are a lot of aspects of sacrificially offering your whole self up to God. And someday I'm going to do a whole sermon series on offering your whole self up to God in worship. But in today's passage, it gives us something very specifically that means in this acceptable worship. So the last thing I want to talk about is reverent worship. Again, in Hebrews chapter 12, I'm going to read those two verses again, because remember, this is a progression. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. By it, we may serve or worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire." What is reverence? Reverence is the utmost respect, the greatest respect you can possibly give. Awe is an emotion combining dread, veneration, and wonder that is inspired by authority or by the sacred. Now, it may come as a shock to you today, but acceptable worship includes the dread, the fear of God. And that's why the last verse in that chapter is, "Our God is a consuming fire." Our God is a consuming fire. What does that mean? Well, the Old Testament talks quite a bit about God being a consuming fire. The first one I want to share with you is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 9. Deuteronomy chapter 9. And as it appears different times in the Old Testament, it's in different contexts. So in Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 3, the Lord has brought the people out of slavery and he leads them into the promised land. And he says, "But understand that today the Lord your God will cross over ahead of you as a consuming fire. He will devastate and subdue them before you. You will drive them out and destroy them swiftly, as the Lord has told you." In that context, it's talking about the Lord being a consuming fire that devours your enemies before you. And then Psalm 97:3, it says, fire goes before him and burns up his foes on every side. And a very joyous passage, Revelations 20, verse 10, the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur. So in those passages, our God is a consuming fire, but that's all good news, isn't it? So where does the fear or the dread come in? I want to share with you a couple other passages. One is back in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 4. This is what God said before chapter 9. Remember chapter 9, God's going out as a consuming fire to devour their enemies. But before he said this in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. Be careful not to forget the covenant of the Lord your God that he made with you, and make idols for yourselves in the shape of anything he has forbidden you. For the Lord your God is what? A consuming fire, a jealous God. One last passage I want to show you in the book of Isaiah, chapter 33. This is probably one of the most famous passages when we talk about God being a consuming fire. Isaiah 33, verse 14. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Trembling seizes the ungodly. Who among us can dwell with a consuming fire? Who among us can dwell with ever-burning flames? Here's where the fear and the dread comes in. We talk about God being a consuming fire, as we saw in Isaiah, as we saw in Deuteronomy chapter 4, God is a consuming fire that devours sinners. Evil, as we see, if we read the story of Moses and the fire on the mountaintop, sinners, evil, the ungodly, cannot dwell in the presence of God. You will be consumed by him. You will be devoured by him. If the consuming fire devours sinners, who of us is safe? Who among us is safe from that consuming fire? Let me tell you today, the only reason that we are not devoured by God's consuming fire is Christ alone. And for you to understand what Christ has done and understand the salvation that you have in Jesus, you must first have reverence and awe for our God, who is a consuming fire. There must be fear and dread in order to understand salvation. The only reason we're not devoured is because of Christ and Christ alone. So let me wrap this up for you today. You can't truly worship God until you understand that he is a righteous, consuming fire that devours evil and is to be feared. The only reason that you are not devoured, that I am not devoured, is because of faith in Jesus Christ and what he has accomplished for us on the cross. And that's cause for constant thanksgiving, constant contentment. Every day, in every moment, regardless of the trials, regardless of the victories, regardless of the circumstances, constant thankfulness. And this creates a beautiful cycle in our lives, brothers and sisters. When we understand the deliverance that we have in Jesus Christ, and we praise God for that deliverance, then it develops in us a thanksgiving that anything else he gives me on top of Jesus Christ is just incredible grace, that God would give me anything. And when we do that, it creates this contentment in our lives, and that contentment then turns into worship of God, offering my whole self back to him, because I'm content with everything he's given me. And I offer my whole self back to him, which is worship. And once we worship God, we grow closer to him, our relationship deepens, and we understand even more about the incredible deliverance that he has given us. And we praise him for it, and we are thankful. And when we are content in that, we worship God with our whole selves. And as we grow closer to him and know him better, you know what happens? we worship him more, and we know him better, and we worship him more. That's the cycle that we should live in every single day until that relationship is perfected when we meet him in glory. So, church, let's not just celebrate Thanksgiving Day. It's over. We've all gained some weight. We've all eaten some food. Let's not just celebrate Thanksgiving Day. Let's be a church that makes 2022 Thanksgiving year. Amen? Always being mindful of where we belong, which is hell, and where we are, which is seated with Christ in the heavenly realms, only because of what Jesus has done for us. And brothers and sisters, I believe that when we've done that, then we're truly ready to celebrate the birth of our Messiah. Amen? Amen. Stand with me and we'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come today, we are a thankful people. We stand in reverence and awe of a God who is a consuming fire, a God who cannot be with sinners. Evil cannot exist in your presence. And every single one of us would be consumed if it were not for Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, I ask that if there are those with us here today who have never put their faith in Jesus. Father, I ask, this is a hard prayer, Father. I ask that they would understand that you are a consuming fire. I ask that there would be dread and fear there. But Father, I ask that that dread and that fear would instantly be met with grace and mercy as they hear and believe in Jesus. Father, we thank you for your incredible goodness. Father, we thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That sacrifice that has saved us from our sins was not only on the cross, Father. We understand that that sacrifice began in the manger. That Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped for his own good, but instead he made himself nothing, becoming a man obedient to death, and even death on a cross. Salvation began that day in that manger. Father, we thank you for that incredible sacrifice. Today, Father, in our thanksgiving, we come and we offer our whole selves to you. All that we are, all that we have, every day is yours, Father. Because we are content in everything you've given us. You have given us above all we could ever ask or imagine in Jesus Christ. So, Father, we want to be a church who truly worships you, who truly gives all that we are. And, Father, we want to be a church that is prepared to celebrate the moment, the night that the Messiah stepped on this earth. We love you, Father. We praise you for Jesus Christ and the salvation that you've provided. It is in his name that we pray. Amen.